This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Relatively calm this week, politics-wise. A bunch of stuff economic, though, so here to dissect the last 5 days in this economy are Anna Swanson. She's at the Washington Post. Neela Richardson is at Redfin. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Kai.
Neela, let me start with you the president's budget, which OMB Director Mick Mulvaney released on Tuesday. First of all, this idea of 3% growth in GDP, which is what the budget director said he is going to hang it on emphatically. I point out that this morning we got GDP growth for the first quarter of this year, 1.2%. Discuss.
Well, we've also learned from the Fed minutes that they think that that weak GDP growth is temporary, but that doesn't really address the real issue. The Fed thinks that, and the CBO, for that matter, thinks that growth will be at under 2%. So this White House projection is really, really high and really, really strong and based on a number of very drastic cuts. These cuts come to the poorest of us. Programs for Medicaid, food stamps, disability are all cut in the president's budget. And we expect actually tax cuts for the rich to come up with the corporate tax reform. So the bottom line of the president's economic plan so far is really that the rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. And you can see that in the tax cuts in the budget.
Anna, let's look big picture here for a second and talk about the president's economic agenda that he campaigned on, right? It's all supposed to be of a unit, right? You've got tax, you've got health care, you've got budget, and it all rolls into one and it's represented in this budget document. Is what we're seeing here part of a coherent economic strategy in your mind?
Well, I think that this budget document definitely has the fingerprints of the budget director as well, Mulvaney. And, you know, this week he came out and really defended that document as well. You know, he said that these growth assumptions are very very realistic, that the president basically refuses to accept the low growth that this country has seen in past years, and that they really expect to, you know, restore the country to this much higher growth rate. So, yes, I think it's all part of that Make America Great Again.
Right. Well, interestingly enough, Anna, the thing he said was this is the first budget, he said, in this country's history that's had compassion not just for the people receiving the aid, social aid, but also compassion for the taxpayer, which I thought was interesting.
That's right. He talked a lot about that. And also, you know, in his comments, it was really interesting, the criticisms about double counting. I don't know if you were going to get into that. But, you know, I mean, I can take a swing at,
swing at
that. I mean, the administration, you know, is basically assuming that these tax cuts are going to create growth, which will generate about $2 trillion in revenue for the government, and that $2 trillion then is going to help balance their budget. But elsewhere, they were also saying that the $2 trillion that they expect these tax cuts to generate is going to pay for the tax cuts themselves. And then in the budget document, they don't give any indication of how the tax cuts will be paid for. So that was a big deal this week in economic circles.
Right.
Basically that, you know, again, this budget relies on growth assumptions that a lot of economists saying are really unrealistic.
Neela, the Speaker of the House, and it's worth a mention here that the House is going to get to decide how this budget document gets written, because that's what the Constitution says. Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, is a notorious budget wonk. He's going to take this and turn it upside down, right?
Well, in order to do so, he would have to make cuts to entitlements. And I don't think that Paul Ryan has the political will to do that. That's Social Security. And I think that that is going to be protected regardless. So this is, to your point, Kai, just a blueprint.
Yeah.
It's just a direction. But it shows a direction towards cuts to discretionary spending.
Yeah.
And it also shows a boost to military spending. And big picture, if those two things are kept, it drastically changes the trajectory of the country in favor of less spending for poor and elderly and towards more military spending.
Yeah. Anna, relatively quickly, let's turn here for a second to the CBO score on health care that came out Wednesday afternoon. Briefly, 23 million more people without insurance than under current law, about $119 billion in deficit reduction. The Senate is now going to go ahead and do its own thing, right?
Yeah. But I think there is complications with that, especially with the CBO score that we got on the bill this week. Mitch McConnell has said recently that he doesn't know how they're going to get enough votes to pass it at this point. Hmm. I think that those numbers, the revised CBO score showed that insurance would be cut for just 23 million people instead of 24. That doesn't look that different to the average voter.
Right. Anna Swanson, we didn't even get to the Fed, you two. Anyway, Anna Swanson at the Washington Post, Neela Richardson, she's at Redfin. They're both in our studios in Washington. Thanks, you two.
Enjoy your weekend.